Let's see if we're on while we wait for the Dukester. And we wait for us to get up there on FTJ. That's why I started it a little bit earlier, because sometimes it takes a minute or two to get going. And it's doing it again. So there we are. We're on there. So we're live. Hey. And there is Henry. He's already got a question for the Dukester. Well, that's very good. It is March 30th, 2025. 45 years ago today, I was in the United States Navy. First day in the Navy, March 30th, 1980. 45 years. Thanks, Shameless Wise Ass. Where does the time go? 45. I was 19. Sheet, 19, right? Damn. All righty then. So let's check out where El Dukester is. And I'll just talk before he gets here. And I'll go over the usual, what do they call that? The housekeeping. We'll get the housekeeping out of the way. All right. This is the Dave and Duke call-in show on FTJmedia.com. And I'm Dave Gahary. And soon we will be joined by David Duke. Maybe, you never know, though, right? I mean, nothing is guaranteed in this world. Look at what happened in, Myanmar with that earthquake? Shit. You never know what's going to happen. But the odds are he'll show up, but if he doesn't, you're stuck with me. And that might be a good or a bad thing. And we're on FTJmedia.com every Sunday, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time. And, of course, I do a show on Tuesdays and Thursdays here as well, FTJ Media, with James Mason from 11 to 1 p.m. Central Time. Shameless Wise is going to barbecue a steak and listen. Awesome. All right. Henry says, hey, can David expand on what Dan Bilzerian meant when he said Jews are behind the Armenian genocide? If he gets here, yes. Hoodoo House. I like that name. Hoodoo House. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Hoodoo. Thomas Dwyer. Good evening, Dave and Duke. Hello, Thomas. I was 19 when I went to the Air Force. Yeah, 19. That was like the average age in Vietnam, too. You know, 19. Damn. Those were the days. Jimmy. Okay. Hey, now. Hay is for horses, buddy. Especially when it's spelled like that, Jimmy. You know I'm just teasing you. Call-in show to talk to David Duke, the evil Ku Klux Klan Nazi, neo-Nazi, who wants to kill anything non-white. That's what the Jews say, right, in the Jews media. And you can ask him any question you want. How about that? How about that? Let's see what we got here. Oh, no. Don't tell me. He called. Oh, no, no. Okay. All right. All these damn gadgets, you know? So if Dukester does show up and he talks too much, then you know what I do, right? I get the buzzer ready. Let's see what we got here. Yeah. Come on, man. Show up. Go ahead. Make my day. Talk too much. Yeah, that's enough out of you. We'll keep that buzzer handy just in case. All right. Let's see. Okay. All right. I guess I should call him. Let's call him.
I was working in the kitchen and I forgot.
Okay, buddy. The link's in Skype.
Yeah, I'll go to the
okay, bye. Okay. There he is. He was working in the kitchen and he got distracted. Yeah. The weather here is kind of ugly if you don't like rain. If you do like rain, it's kind of nice. I like the rain because it's always damn sunny here. We're not getting hit. Neither we nor Tom are getting hit, but Pensacola is getting hammered and Mobile is getting hammered and they've been getting hammered all day. So we're just getting like a slight drizzle here. I don't know about Tom, but let's find out. Tom, how is it there? All right. Shameless Wises, maybe you need to call him like, lay me up, exactly. William Jones, evening, guys. Hoodoo House. Duke did well in the Metairie and state elections. Didn't do great in the presidential run. Yeah, that's kind of tough. You got the Goyim listening to the Jews media, so it's hard to gain any ground because they're so powerful. Hello, Huntress. Huntress has a new show coming on FTJ. Let me see when that is. Hold on a second. Let me get to that. Sunday, 8 p.m. Central. Nice. The Digital Battlefront. FTJ Media and White Pilled. FTJ Premiere, the Digital Battlefront on FTJ tonight. Yes. Join Spy Hunter and Huntress for the show about white nationalist digital tech. Very cool. So that's going to be here an hour after we're done. So yeah, check that out. I'm going to check that out too. Looks like a cool show. Let me see. Is it in the upcoming on FTJ? Let's see. If it's not, it needs to be, Huntress. You need to put that in the upcoming so people know it's there. Let me see. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I missed it. I didn't miss it. Yep. Let's get that in the upcoming. Yeah. Yep. Same here, Dave. Yep. Yep, Tommy. Yes, Spy Hunter. Hello. Old guys. Old guys. No old guys here. We're mentally fit as a fiddle. Jimmy says, I looked up where your barbecue is at. It's really cool and like a different from St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, barbecue. We got a lot of barbecue down here. All right. So the way to do that, Huntress, the way to do an upcoming show is you click on the live, that red live button, and then you'll scroll down to the bottom on the right-hand side. It says saved, new schedule, save schedule. And you do a new schedule. Well, it's going to default to new schedule. And you type in the title of the show. And once that's done, underneath that, you click that and a calendar will pop up. Of course, you select today and then the time will pop up automatically. Select 8. And then it will, another window will pop up, allowing you to break the hour into like 5-minute slots. So that's how to do it. And this way people will know that it's upcoming. And then you can put like a cool image in there if you want. And, you know, that's even cooler. All right. And, oh my boy, as Elvis used to say. Okay. All right. Yeah, so 45 years ago today, I was first time I'd been on a plane. Never been on a plane. I was 19 and flew out from Jersey to San Diego. I went to boot camp in San Diego, and that was 1980. And it was amazing. You know, we got in late. It was like maybe 11 at night, and there were palm trees there. Never saw a palm tree. It was pretty cool. And let's see what we got here. Yeah. Anyway, 45 years. Crazy, right? Where'd the time go? Where did the time go? Got it. Yeah, so that was boot camp, right? That's when the Navy had boot camps out there. They closed. I think the only one now is Great Lakes. So, you know, everything's changed. Everything's changed. You know, let's go here to the chat. Okay. Ah, William Jones already has a question. That's good. Shameless Wise. Okay, that's it's cold there. Okay. What was Jersey like in 1980? It was America. It was normal. Yep. Well, Jersey is very rural. You know, most people don't realize that, but it's very rural. There's more horse farms in New Jersey than there are in Kentucky, supposedly. And it's called the Garden State, you know, because the soil is awesome. And where I grew up, it was beautiful. You know, grew up next to a farm, and then we moved, and where we moved to was even more rural, and we used to drink in the cornfield, which was cool. And Dave, can't see you.
Well, I'll have to make sure you can. Just a second.
Yeah. Nice of you to show up, Dave.
Well, nice to be here.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got a little busy. I was doing some work.
Yeah.
It's Sunday.
Yes, it's Sunday. Yes. Well, go ahead. You get set up.
It's, for some reason, the doggone picture's not coming on. Let me see if I can just...
Maybe you got your camera turned off or...
Well, I had it. It should work now, though. Let me see. Okay.
Yeah. All you got to do is straighten yourself out. All we see is half your face.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I got this. I got it.
So you got to scooch over.
I got it.
About 2 feet to the left.
I got it. I'm not going to scoot over because it's right. I'm going to scoot the camera over just a second.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, but it might fall off.
The way I know I can do it. Yeah, see, I'm just. But you see, that's. Yeah, you got it close knit here. Let me see some else.
All right. Huntress, I was flying before I was born. My dad was a pilot. Cool.
Huh?
No, I'm just going through the chats.
All right.
While you're getting ready. Oh, there's another question. Okay. How did Jersey get its reputation for being a mob state? Because Soprano. Yeah. Jersey's mostly farmland and rural and suburban, but there are urban parts, and that's how, you know, they got the reputation, or because the Jews media painted, you know, New Jersey as that.
New Jersey was a really right-wing state at one time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of KKK there. It still is. It still is.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so bright. It shouldn't be that bright. Well, let me bring down the brightness. Where are we? That's getting a little better. It's still kind of bright, huh? I don't know why it's doing that. Don't ask me why. It's way over.
Let's Who's see. Calling?
It's way to school. Underexposed. Let's see.
Yes. Yeah, so while you're doing that, Dave, I'm going to tell a. I'm going to tell a.
Go ahead.
A Soprano story. You want to mute yourself?
Huh?
You want to mute yourself?
If you need me to.
Do you? I mean, while you're getting ready.
Well, I'm just getting the camera ready. That's all. Let me do it.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and mute yourself, and I'll tell this story. Okay, so I was working a shit job, you know, doing like courier work. Yeah, Jimmy, there is a lot of money in New Jersey. And I went from Central Jersey, where the courier company was, probably maybe still is, I don't know. And I went through, had to go into Manhattan, so went through the Holland Tunnel. So you've got the Holland Tunnel on the southern part of Manhattan and the Lincoln Tunnel in the northern part. So I went through the Holland Tunnel, and the way that, you know, the lanes merge together, all those lanes from the Holland Tunnel merge together, and then there's obviously a lot of traffic, and then you, you know, have to merge into a single lane. And a little while after that, you come out on West Street. And if you make a left, that's where the Twin Towers were, right? I know there's something else there now. But anyway, I pulled out of the tunnel, and the way that it merged, you know, you got these lanes coming together like this, and I'm on the left side. And the other lane is obviously coming in the same direction we're going to meet. And I just happened to look over, and I saw a like a blue Jeep Cherokee. So this was probably like, well, this was in the 90s, right? Like the late 90s, I think. Something like that, or the mid-90s. And there was someone in the car with me from another employee, a black kid, a young black kid. And this was before the cell phones and stuff, but he was looking down at something. I don't remember what. Maybe it was a cell phone, but you know, not like they are today. And then I looked over and I saw the guy in the Jeep Cherokee was the guy from The Sopranos. What was his name? Gandolfini, James Gandolfini. I had never seen The Sopranos, but I recognized him from seeing him, you know, on the internet or something, or television, whatever. And so I looked at him and, you know, I looked over and he looked at me and we were about like 20 feet apart. And he looked at me and he gave me this like, you know, this smirk, like, and there was a girl in the car with him. You know, he gave me this smirk and he just turned back. Like, in other words, you're nobody, right? Just like, and he turned his head, faced forward. And, you know, I don't know why. I just, I said, and again, this is like 20 feet away. And I'm like, what's the matter? You too big to say hello? And he turned over and he looked at me and he said, hey, fuck you. Just like he did, like does in the show, television show. And I said, it just came out naturally because he's from Jersey too. And I said, hey, fuck you too. And the light turned and we went on our way. It was a funny, you know, thing that happened. You know, it's a weird story. Anyway, that's, I thought about that because of the, you talked about The Sopranos.
You felt like you were right in the TV show itself, huh?
What's that?
You felt like you were right in the TV show.
Right, right, right. Exactly. So, Dave, we got a full house already.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. First question from our buddy in Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can David expand on what Dan Bilzerian meant when he said Jews are behind the Armenian genocide?
Well, absolutely. I know a bit about this because I studied the relationship with the empire that existed in, of course, Turkey, which was the Ottoman Empire. And so there were some Jews that infiltrated the government. A lot of these so-called Young Turks actually happened to be Jews as well. And there was a big competition in, and by the way, the Christians and the Jews actually long before modern times with Israel and Zionism, but Christians and Muslims, you know, are Christians, I should say, Jews, did pretty well in terms of with the Muslim governments. You know, as the Muslims weren't these radical Wahhabists that we see after the Jews flooded Syria and flooded Iraq, you know, with these radical Wahhabists. And but in Turkey, Jews were trying to put some influence in the government, and the problem was that the main Jewish competitors in commerce and business were not even the Muslims. They were most of the people and the customers and so forth. But in terms of a lot of the big companies, the biggest competitors they had were the Armenians. And the Armenians are real smart people. They were very commercial. They knew business. They had successful businesses. And in fact, I remember when I first got my book published in Russia, it was an Armenian publisher, by the way. They became very strong Christians. They were strong Christians. I actually have a direct ancestor way back into early Armenia who was the man that brought Christianity to Armenia a long time ago. It's the oldest ancestor my genealogist was able to kind of track down, which is kind of interesting. And but anyway, so the Jews wanted to get rid of their Christian competitors. And the truth is that Jews always, always, always hated Christians more than they did Muslims. That's a fact. Now, nowadays, they talk about it, Muslims and so forth, and Amalekites and all these others. But they really, really hated Christians because they saw Christ as a person who has a direct threat to them, and Christians as a direct threat to them. Because Christians and Christ himself spoke out about the evil of what had become Judaism. Whatever Judaism was in its early days, and supposedly it was monotheistic, but we know it really wasn't monotheistic from the beginning. Even after they adopted Judaism by some of their rulers, it was a really kind of laid-back Judaism. It wasn't the Judaism that came into being about the second century B.C. And this is an interesting subject. I've been over this a few times with the audience, but it's important to discuss it. It can also be talked about in line with this. So it's very important to note that, yeah, there's, and of course, Christians traditionally look at it like God had a covenant with the Jews. The Jews broke the covenant, that the covenant was always conditional, which it clearly is in Deuteronomy. God said, look, I'll have a covenant with you, and if you obey my covenant, I'll keep my covenant with you. And but the interesting thing is that what we call the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, which is the real core of the Jewish Bible, that wasn't even codified. It wasn't even collated into a complete like Bible or text until the first one was done, which was not even in Hebrew. It was called the Septuagint. This, apparently, they did translate that they had certain scraps in Hebrew. At the same time, they seemed to write some Hebrew, but they didn't even completely codify what we call the Old Testament, or what we call the, what the Jews call the Tanakh, or what we call the, you know, the Pentateuch, until literally two centuries before Christ. And there's a lot of evidence that whatever old scripts they have in oral tradition, now remember that the coming, the Moses and Abraham and all these other figures that they have in the Old Testament took place over 3,500 years ago. Yet we have no manuscripts, no manuscripts of any complete Bibles before what we call the Old all the books of the Old Testament, including the first five books. We have no complete manuscripts, even though the first five books, until the second century before Christ. Hard to believe, isn't it? It's kind of shocking. Now, we had lots of scriptures of the Christian church within 100 years of Christ's death. There was different copies in different places, but no, because of crucifixion, excuse me.
We got the Armenians, Dave?
Well, I'm getting there.
Well, because we got a bunch of tons of questions.
Well, it's important, but
I know it's important. But let's
so the thing is that Judaism, after the coming of Christ, especially, became extremely anti-Jesus, anti-Christian, viciously so, and that's what Jews took their time in doing. Now that included the time what happened in the Ottoman Empire. So the so-called Jews or Young Turks and the Jews that influenced the government were able to influence the government to have this Holocaust, this genocide of Christians in the country, because the Jews were trying to get rid of their competitors. And about 1.5 million Christians, this is contested, so probably 1.5 million Christians at least were killed, and most of them were Armenians. So that's why there's this issue about Armenia and Armenians.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, next. Before we get to the next question, no, Henry, that was not a made-up story. That's a true story. In fact, one thing I left out of it is then after that happened, after he said what he said to me and I said what I said to him, we started to drive toward the light. The black kid looked up because he had his head down the whole time. And he looked up and he said, that guy sounded like James Gandolfini. I said, that was James Gandolfini. So it was weird because I'm screaming across the black guy, and he didn't even, like, lift his head up. I don't remember. Like I said, I don't think phones were. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Anyway, next question.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Okay. What's this is from our buddy Richard in the UK.
Sure. Oh, Richard, good to hear from you.
Yes. Dave, is your let me just make sure your camera's on. Yeah, it is, but it looks like it went off. Well,
my camera's there.
It's good. Okay. Richard says, and the this question ends with the word collapsing. What's Dukester's opinion on British historian David Irving? Mark Collett interviewed Guillermo Rudolph today. I'm curious what your guys' opinion on revisionism is now. Martyr Maid has been saying Churchill was a warmonger who single-handedly started World War II and has significant reach by appearing on Joe Rogan, Piers Morgan, etc. So it's clear the boomer truth regime is collapsing. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, well, okay. What do you want to cover first?
David Irving. What's your opinion on David Irving?
I think the world of David Irving. I mean, some of his approaches I might have some slight disagreement with. He seemed to be more accommodating to traditional Holocaust theory later on. But overall, he contested the official version. And he did a lot of good in putting a human face on the German population. And even on the characterization of Hitler, which is presented as this epitome of evil. And I suggest that it's hard to know the truth about any individual, which is easy for people to lie about, until you get a complete and honest idea of freedom of speech. You have being able to adapt different opinions without being called a traitor or being destroyed in your career or going to prison. And that's exactly what happened in Germany. The problem with wars and political correctness and problem with wars and truth is that history is always written by the victors, correct? I mean, the people who get defeated, they're going to be portrayed as the people who are evil and all kinds of different atrocities. It's just like the Palestinians being accused every day of being evil because of October 7, when 1,150 people died and 36 children. But in the Jewish invasions, even before October 7, we had, well, just the last 10 days, we had 400 children, more than that, actually, be murdered, literally murdered by the Israelis.
Slaughtered.
Bombing.
Dave, what's your opinion on revisionism?
I'm getting there. Okay. So I'm trying to explain a point. So it's really important. These are the good things about the show when we have questions and answers, is that we can explore topics and give people the story behind the story. You know, it's the things you got to consider when you talk about historical reality. If you want to know about Hitler or you want to know about the origins of the war, you can't trust the biggest enemies of Hitler to tell you what the real Hitler was about or what really National Socialism was about. Now, they may be right, they may be wrong, but it's hard to trust it when you're just getting one side and you're getting a Hollywood movie that presents you the most evil side possible of the Germans and Hitler and the Second World War. There is a lot of evidence, and there's good historical evidence and accepted evidence from many sides. In fact, AJP Taylor and others wrote very powerful books after the Second World War saying you can't really blame Hitler and the Germans anymore for the war than you could blame English government, French government. Then you could blame other parties and the influences that wanted this war. Because the truth is, the Germans tried to make peace. They tried to do a negotiated peace. And they really weren't trying to control other nations or other peoples other than free their own populations, which were taken away against international law, supposed international law, by the Versailles Treaty after the First World War. And these things could have been negotiated and decided that way. 95% of the people in Danzig, for instance, wanted to have peace. But the Jewish element, this is the one thing you can't talk about, the Jewish element in America, France, England, elsewhere around the world, wanted war because they wanted to destroy Germany, wipe out the German people. Then they, as I've talked about a lot, we've talked about Germany Must Perish a lot, the book that basically says that it calls for the extermination of the entirety of the German people and the destruction and disproportionment of Germany, destruction of the German state. Now, that's unbelievable, and yet the New York Times called that a great idea. This is long
that little Jew who wrote it should have been arrested and studied, right?
Put under the microscope. Huh?
Yeah, Dave, let's get to the next question.
Okay.
Henry. Henry says, when, if ever, should we apply the death penalty in case of murder, rape, drug violations, and stealing?
Well, here's what I believe right now. We'd be better off if there was no death penalty right now in Europe or America. And why is that, I say? Well, because right now the death penalty is being disproportionately and misapplied toward Europeans. Europeans are committing actually far, far less murders than black people. And yet the proportion of whites being executed and death penalties is very different. Now, do I think that a death penalty would be justified and people have a horrible murder of a man, woman, their children, that type of thing, or the rape of children or damages? Absolutely. I think that would be justified. It's always got to be carefully applied because, you know, that's a final sentence. You can't get new evidence later about someone. But at the same time, it would seem like an appropriate term. But now with Jews in power, we're going to have the death penalty in all kinds of laws. In fact, we should support the idea of lighter sentences and more tolerance right now because the people who are having the power and the police power and the governmental power are going to use that power, especially if we have mass depression and violence and other aspects which may be coming. And they'll be using that as an excuse of taking away our civil liberties. And I guarantee you the death penalty will be something applied. And a lot of times it won't even be just a legal death penalty after a case. It'll be the military will be treating Europeans and who are patriotic to Europe and want to preserve Europe. And they'll be treating Americans like they're treating Palestinians today and people in the Middle East today, like what's going on in Yemen. But Dr. Slattery used to say it well. I'll close with this comment. He said, thank goodness that we didn't get that equipment in Afghanistan back to the United States. And people called in and said, well, why do you say that, Dr. Slattery? And he said, because if that equipment went back to the United States, who do you think they're going to be using it on?
Yep. That's right. And Trump just talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that I think it's a 1038 or something like that. Okay.
Well, what did he say? What was the thing?
That plan where that program where the U.S. military gives equipment to local police stations. He's all for that. You know, why not? We need tanks in the neighborhood, right?
Big mistake. It's very disquieting. Some of the things Trump's saying, and it's getting a lot of pushback in the MAGA movement. A lot of people are saying Trump made it very clear when he ran in 20 and when he ran in 16, he made it very clear that he was against these wars. But it seems like he's even doing big threatening things against Putin right now. But he's also done all the horrific stuff in terms of Yemen. And Yemen is the only country in the world that's acting just. They haven't killed lots of people, but they've tried to enforce and cause a toll and sort of blockades that would be against Israel as long as they're starving the people of Gaza, as long as they're killing people of Gaza. They even halted it while the ceasefire went on. And they were, and the Jews promised to aid with the civilians with food and everything. Remember, it's a prison camp. So unless they allow aid to come,
concentration camp.
Unless
this is your president right here.
Yeah, unless they allow aid to come into the camp, the people do not eat. They don't drink any water.
Where's your president?
I don't know if he's my president. I'm probably one of the few here that didn't vote for him. Just because I didn't think my vote changed the situation, but because it wasn't the state where there was any closeness to it. But I just didn't, you know, I wanted to vote for somebody to make a point of the Jewish subservience right now that Trump seems to have.
Yeah, did you see who's tailing behind him? That's Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. And there's Miriam Adelson. $100 million from her.
The October 7th attack would never.
He got the go-ahead. He got the go-ahead to massacre those Palestinians. All right, next question.
Yeah, the October 7th attack would have never taken place except for the hundreds of thousands of people that have been damaged throughout the Middle East and the wars that the Jewish power structure ruling over America caused. It also caused the damage of thousands of Americans. It cost us 3,000 victims, even more than that. And
let's get to the question. We got tons of them.
Well, I know, but I mean,
I know, but
powerful. That's a little. I know, but if we go agenda,
off,
isn't it?
If we go off on like tangents,
never
going to get to the question.
20 seconds, and let me tell you, I think most people are glad they heard it. Okay, let's go. And we're arguing more about it than the time it would take. I was just speaking for 30 seconds.
They like the arguing.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well, I guess it's good to emphasize the point. It's important for us to say these things that no other people say on
right, but they like when we argue.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, so it's good.
Because they especially like it because I always win.
That's right. Of course, you better.
That's my job.
You better, man. When you start losing, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I am.
You right? All right, you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
We were talking about when I was telling that story about
if you want to hear me bash the Jews, folks, or not, you want to hear that last little ringer in the end of my
zinger, talk, zinger,
the zinger that brings it back to the ringer, that brings it back to the issue that's on our mind, the issue that drives every factor destroying Western mankind and destroying the peace of this world.
Exactly. Remember when I was telling that story about James Gandolfini?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about the, you know, West Street and the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Richard says, did they ever build a mosque where the Twin Towers were? The biggest fuck you ever after 9/11. I know it was applied for planning permission at some point.
Wow. I don't think so. Not at 9/11 per se.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But I tell you one thing. That it's really a fascinating thing about the one thing about 9/11 a lot of people don't know is that before 9/11 it's actually after 9/11 the guy who became the what's the term of it he was the criminal justice part of the Justice Department was a guy named Chertoff who became the chief, the guy who was head of Homeland Security, the first head. Well, the guy became the first head of Homeland Security to show you how you can't make up these things. It's so freaking crazy. He was the U.S. attorney in Newark, New Jersey, where the bombing of the trade, the first bombing of the trade center, where they drew the trucks into the basements there below the trade centers, trying to blow them up. And then after that case, and people allege that this mosque was behind it, and the evidence is pretty strong about that first bombing. And he became the attorney for the very Muslim that was accused, the attorney of the Muslim, because of Medicare fraud case and so on. He became the attorney for him, and the guy that was accused of doing the bombing. So there's big connections, and then there's a lot of evidence. There's been a lot of evidence since that these same people had a role as well in the, in 9/11 as well. So there you go. I mean, that's the guy who prosecuted me, put me in jail to keep me, to shut me down after I was going against the Iraq war.
Fuck. That guy looks like a fucking demon.
Isn't that interesting, though? I mean, how do, you know, I've been around a long time. It's amazing how many things that I have some personal, you know, influence in the people that are kind of pivotal.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The same guy. He's the guy that signed off on my prosecution for, quote, quote, taxes, which later I proved that I overpaid my taxes by $6,000. Like I said, I should have been in jail. I should have been in jail. Anybody who would overpay their taxes by $6,000 deserves to go to jail.
You should still be in jail. Yeah, that was.
Let's not go that far.
All right. That was the piece of shit who allowed the five dancing Israelis to go back to Israel.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Huntress, in my experience, people in Manhattan were generally friendly.
Yes, the judge, too. The judge was a big Jew. The main judge that was overseeing that case let the Jews go back to Israel. I mean, the Jewish.
Do you remember who it was? Do you remember who it was?
I know the name.
Was it in Manhattan?
It's in the
District of New York?
Yeah, it's the main
judge. Was it Jed Rakoff?
Rakoff, yeah. Yep. They used to call him Jackoff.
Yep.
That's him.
Yep. Real piece of shit.
I should have remembered that.
Well, it's okay. That's what I'm here for, Dave.
Well, that's because I just don't have sex in my mind all the time, and you do.
That's right. I don't. Not all the time.
I know.
Like 99.999%.
I'm just having
We're guys, man. That's all we think about. Come on.
Well, that's right. Well, you know, even though you're just, you know, you're an honorary Southerner to me.
That's
the way Southern boys are.
If we don't
kind of do this, tease each other, then people don't think you're good friends.
Exactly. Yeah. We're good old boys. I'm a guest of the South.
Yeah, we'll make you an honorary Southerner.
Cool.
You Yankee.
Awesome. Klasha, good afternoon. Hello, Klasha. All right, let's see. Okay. Lisa from Germany. Okay. This question ends with the word about. Accuracy in the use of language is crucial. The term Jews did not exist. Why don't we use the appropriate terms? What are the accurate terms? The Jews of today are not who they claim to be. Judaism is not a religion. It's organized crime under the cover of religion. What is Dr. Duke's definition of what religion is about?
I think it's perfectly proper to use the term Jews and Jew, because it's a form of the people who really kind of ran the production of the Torah and then later the Talmud. They identify themselves as Jews. They say that the Judeans were the power, and that's what they are. They're Jews. They're who the Germans talked about. They're who the 100, it's actually more than that. It's 200 different nations, probably 1,000 different kingdoms persecuted. They're so-called expelled from their power for their perfidious activities. And they were called Jews. So I don't have any worry about Jews. I think Jews is a lot better term than it shouldn't even be the term anti-Semite. It should be the term anti-Jewish. That's what people are, who oppose Jewish supremacism. And it's not all Jews are supremacists, but I can tell you something, that Judaism may have had certain transformations, but if it ever started out in a good sense, as some Christian denominations say, it certainly didn't end up that way. By the time of the Christ, the crucified Christ, and it's committed more evil against Christians and Christian values, and the European people that accepted Jesus and taught this new covenant and became part of the new covenant. So I don't have any problem with the term Jews. They are Jews. And the term Jew has not become a very positive term. And that's because of the overwhelming power of Jews, not just over so much of us and the wars that they've produced, the usury they produced, the porn they produced, the LGBTQism they produced, all these things. But it's also because of the fact that they are doing bad things. Not all Jews, but
the most.
If you talk about any country, I mean, imagine talking about the Russians. I heard Jacob Schiff on the media on an interview this morning, or not interview, it was one of his own tubes. And you know what he called Putin? He called Putin a communist. This is Jacob Schiff, who's all his Jewish buddies and friends and family and immigrants.
You're talking about that piece of shit who's senator now?
Yes.
That's Adam Schiff.
Adam, that's right.
He's related to, right, Jacob.
Adam Schiff. Yep. But he called Putin a communist. He's a communist. Can you believe this stuff? And, you know, and like he wasn't a true Christian. No, he's a lot more true Christian than any of these Christian Zionists who aren't true Christians at all. They're supporting the biggest enemies, the crucifiers of Christ.
Wouldn't you love to meet that guy in a dark alley?
No, because I don't want to do anything.
I'd just say to meet him.
In a dark alley? No.
Yeah, really dark.
I wouldn't trust him what he would do in a dark alley.
All right, ready? Jimmy's got a question.
Yeah.
Remember our buddy Jimmy from St. Louis?
Absolutely.
This ends in the word mass.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Duke, do you think all the Jew-wise people that voted for Trump will Trump care? I voted 3 times for him, but last time was only for the chance that Trump will betray the Jews. I wanted to find out. Now I'm done with all but Tom Massey. Dave, do you think all the Jew-wise people who voted for Trump will care that he's not doing what they thought he would do?
I think they're really going to care. I think it's going to be his Achilles heel, because there's no true way to be America first unless you go against those people who've done more to destroy.
They're not people, but
the United States. Well, whatever. But let's not break the continuity of the argument here. the people, the weird and wonderful human beings that they are, whatever, that have done more to destroy the United States of America, to ethnically cleanse our people, to ethnically cleanse the Palestinian people, to ethnically cleanse the German people of Germany in the Second World War and causes mass murders, ethnically cleanse the Russian people by the millions, ethnically cleanse much of Europe by this insane war called World War II, which they had a huge role in doing. I mean, it's, well, that's the answer. Hope that's clear.
Perfect. Sorry about the chopper going overhead. Okay. Henry again.
Yes, Henry.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Lisa says, good evening, Dr. Duke and Dave Gahary in the chat. You answered her question.
I want to call out too to my, you know, wonderful researcher who I think that she's going to be listening to the show, and wish her well. And she's a great person that works very hard to.
Very nice. Help. Very lovely.
Things. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Henry, Christian white Europe never wrote false history like Jews. Have they, David?
I think there's always been a lot of false history. I think history has always been written by friends of the king. That doesn't mean it's not sometimes been accurate, but I think there's never been a more case of purposeful deception than the Jewish power structure that's in power. Now, let me explain that. This is part of the answer to that question, which is a critical answer and helps people understand a lot of issues. The motto of the Mossad is, by deception, they'll shout, wage war. We shall wage war. And that's how Jews fight wars. And they've been fighting a war against Western civilization and our people for a long, long time, more than 2,000 years. And that's the reality of what's going on. And they made deception into the open positions of the Jewish religion that's called Judaism. Because the Jewish religion, along with its Talmud, and even in the Torah, I must say, it actually says that we should not allow usury, a terrible thing, and it was pointed as a terrible thing. We should not allow usury to our own people, but it's okay to do usury against Gentile people, which is us, to a Roman or a Greek or whatever, a Philistine, a Palestinian, whatever, that's fine. That is deception, because they always deny that they have these opinions. The same thing is true about slavery. The Pentateuch says it's fine for Jews to take slaves of other people and keep them forever, pass them on for generations forever and ever and ever. That's us, by the way, but they can't take Jewish slaves. At the same time, the way the Jews were so corrupt, they even practiced usury among themselves. Yes, they did. In fact, when Christ went into the temple, he drove them out and turned over the money changers' tables. That's another, that's just a basic synonym for money lending, for usury. And while they condemn usury in the New Testament and the Old Testament, they, the Jews, were actually practicing this because they had all these kind of things. They also, if you read in the Old Testament, and this is one of the reasons why some people have problems with certain aspects of it. Now, I wanted to talk about one thing today. I meant to today because it's something that I really did a lot of work on this morning. And I hope you'll give me another extra 30 seconds to a minute.
Oh, God. All right.
I'm asking.
Let's all go right. A minute. A minute. That's it.
All right. Let's go for it.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So one of the most profound things that I can use to show how Judaism had, what's the word for it? Judaism had disrespect and disobedience and actually preached supremacy to even God himself is examined right in the Old Testament. When Moses went to the top of Sinai, and God said to Moses, this is after they get rescued or whatever by the Mediterranean Sea, whatever. Then they started worshiping idols, doing sodomy and pedestry and every sort of evil you could make up. And God says to Moses, this is our omniscient and powerful God. He says to Moses, he says, Moses, I've decided I'm going to have to wipe out all the Jews. And Moses says to God, and this is there. You can find it. You can prove it to yourself. Just go to the passages. It's right in Exodus. And Moses says to God, he argues with God. And he says to God, he says, if you go against the Jewish people, my people, I go against you. And my people will go against you. And you can blot me out of your book of those that serve you and love you. You can blot me out of your book. You can't even make this up. Basically, Moses blackmails God and says, if you go against my people, you become my enemy and I will fight you. In other words, that is basically saying that Jews are more important to Jews then God's will is important to Jews. Now, think about that one for a second. That's really what it says.
That's they a minute,
put,
Dave.
They put Jews over the will of God, and that's yep. An admission of that. And Jews talk about this a lot in the Talmud, by the way.
Jews are God.
That's right. Jews are more, it's more important for Jews to stand up for these evil Jews and these corrupt Jews than it is for them to do the will of God.
Richard says, hello, Bushmaster 6A. Glad you're here. We're talking about Jews again, of course. Richard says, remember when Trump was saying build the wall? Whatever happened there?
It didn't get built. But immigration has gone down a lot. You can argue that. But, you know, it didn't go down a lot of the Biden administration. And there's a lot of evidence for, you know, corruption in that election.
Great image, Hoodoo House. William Jones says, And this ends in wars, this question. I'd imagine the Jewish lawyers in the planning department rubbing their hands with glee at that, a perfect means of redirecting American rage to continue the forever wars. I don't know exactly what he's talking about. Let's find out.
Well, it sounds like that Trump is not trying to make America great again, but Trump's posturing to get us involved. I mean, this is terribly dangerous to America. It's harmful to America in every way. It's going to destroy our economy, and it's probably going to cost the lives of many, many thousands of our sailors and soldiers. We have bases all around Iran, close to the Iran's borders. There's no way that you're going to bomb Iran, that you're going to bomb their nuclear facilities. And just think about it now. If they say they're going to stop any possible development of a nuclear bomb by bombing your nuclear power plants, what are you doing when you bomb a nuclear power plant? Has anybody ever heard of Chernobyl? Has anybody ever heard of the fact that you bomb a nuclear power plant, you could kill millions of people, including people across Europe and including people across the world? It's pretty doggone scary to think that Trump would abandon the interest of his people. A war with Iran is insane. We already had an agreement with Iran, and the United Nations and our own individual people understood that they were following that agreement. They were not enriching uranium over what they can do for their nuclear power companies. That's the fact. So now we're going to go bomb them. They didn't break the agreement. The Jews broke the agreement because Jews want war. And war is only good for one people, Jews, but it may redound to their destruction, not their advantage.
Thank you, Dave. Got an update here. This is what I think Richard was talking about. And yes, it looks like there is New York City's Ground Zero Mosque faces foreclosure. So there is a mosque there. I don't know if it's still there. 2 blocks away from the World Trade Center. So, yes.
Well, they got rid of that pesky little thing.
Yeah, there it is.
I don't agree with massive immigration to this country. Obviously, I'm opposed to that. But you know what? When somebody is to a country illegally and have a green card, and they exercise freedom of speech. So I oppose, and what the people who are speaking out against the genocide in Gaza, and who are speaking out about the evil control of our government leading us to support massive genocide to cost us billions of dollars and trillions of dollars, because America's been betrayed into these wars like Iraq and Afghanistan, that just cost us $8 trillion. Folks, you can't even imagine what $8 trillion is worth. No. $8 trillion. Well, we talk in the Congress.
I can't even imagine 6 million Jews.
I mean, my God.
Yeah. Forget about $8 trillion.
In Congress, we talk about the Congress spending $100 billion. $8 trillion. Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Richard and Bushmaster 6A. Okay. Next one. William Jones. Well, this is Richard. This ends in the word stop.
Okay.
What's Dukester's thoughts on the Ukraine-Russia situation? Zelensky has announced he won't be accepting U.S. demands to return aid given during Biden's presidency. Meanwhile, Macron wants a general European draft to potentially fight in a hot war with NATO. The bloodshed has got to stop.
Yeah, let's have another damn war. Wouldn't that be great? Let's go slaughter as many Russian, Ukrainians, Poles, Frenchmen, Germans as possible. Let's go do that. That's a good idea, Jews. Thank you so much. I say no. I say that we should tell Israel, if you don't stop, if you're Jews that are supporting this genocide in Gaza, don't stop the genocide and don't stop promoting this war against Russia, a Christian country. Unless you do that, if there is a war, the first place America will go to war is against you Israeli traitors to America, both here the traitors in America, the criminals in America, and in the nation of Israel that committed terrorism against us, and the attack on the Liberty and the Levant affair and the spy game, stealing our uranium and massacring and costing trillions of dollars and so many lives and well-being of America in these wars, as well as the pandemic and every other thing that they've been involved in. So that's what I would tell them. You stop pushing this crap, or we're going to start prosecuting you. And any Jew, it doesn't matter that they didn't, they should be forced to sign statements that they're, you know, working with for another country, because they certainly are, AIPAC. But even if they didn't, there's no reason that any Jew is doing the bidding of Israel against the United States in these insane wars and these insane lies to get American boys in wars and dead for their lies. They should be prosecuted as traitors to the United States and given the full penalty of the law.
Perfect. Okay, next. Hoodoo House. This question ends with the word allowed. So if the U.S. gets big revenue in tariffs, anyone think the federal income tax will go away? I believe that's how it was way back before 1913 when the income tax was rolled out. Tariffs were the government revenue, as federal income tax was not allowed.
No, I don't think the income tax is going to go away. And I think that the income tax is already, or has already gone away, disproportionately away from the richest 1% and 1/5 to 1% in this country who are Jews. They have all kinds of ways to protect their income and get special discounts. The middle class are people, the people who are paying the big lion's share of the income taxes in this country, are the middle class and the upper middle class that are working and slaving their butt off to pay their rent or pay their mortgage or pay for the education, or all the things that they should do, are the highest medical care in the world. Israel's got one of the best medical systems in the world, which we pay for. We've given far more money in Israel that would even take care of their entire medical system. That's how much money we've given them. This country is richer than we are, and they live individually much better than we do as Americans. So here's the situation. If you're going to have taxes, it does make sense to have some sort of system that the super wealthy people pay their fair share and not get out of it. Because any taxes on the middle class or the lower middle class that work every day, that often have to have both spouses working all the time, where the kids aren't getting the care they need and not able to have a decent life, this damage is absolutely abrupt. And the truth is, the wage gap and the money gap between the super rich and the super poor, and even the middle class, has gone wider than it ever has in American history. So even though I grew up saying, yeah, we need a fair income tax. Now, a flat income tax might be an answer if it's low enough, because the truth is that if there was, a flat 14% or 15% income tax, it'd be better than what we have now, where it's you have to file any papers to do anything. That's almost better than, you know, at least you get 15% of those billionaires. And that would bring a lot more money in. And then maybe we could start supporting our education costs, where people don't have to take their kids out of public education, which they're already paying for, but they can't enjoy the benefits of because of the social programs. And we know what those programs are.
Social programming.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. Richard, what's Dukester, and this ends in the word pound. Okay. What's Dukester's thoughts on Eustace Mullins? He wrote Secrets of the Federal Reserve and enjoyed a close partnership with Ezra Pound.
Yes, I've read Eustace Mullins. I loved his book, The Biological Jew, which is talking about how in a natural sense that the way the Jewish elite works as a parasite, how much they're like a parasite in the sense that they are a form of economic parasitism. upon their host. And the perfect example of that is the example I gave last Sunday, was the fact that you look at Goldman Sachs, you can go to a publication called Better Markets. Remember that. Look it up after this show. Better, B-E-T-T-E-R, Markets. It's a watchdog group for the Wall Street firms. It talks about Goldman Sachs, biggest, most dirty, horrific criminal bank in America, Jewish bank. It's also been the biggest contributor in American politics over the last 60, 70, 80 years even, and a lot of impact before then. And they were just convicted of the largest criminal conspiracy. It's a criminal bribery fraud conspiracy that was trying to defraud a whole country, which is against the law in America. And they were found guilty of that, a $4.5 billion. That's a big piece of crime. You could rob a bank for $100,000, you're going to get more publicity than Goldman Sachs gets for stealing billions of dollars.
Well, you could allegedly pay less on your income tax and get much more publicity than that.
And they, when they get, look, it's not even about what they pay on income tax. And this is important to note, Dave, and put this in your hat and smoke it whenever you want to talk to people about this. It's really about getting direct infusions of our taxpayers' money, because the Federal Reserve Bank and three quarters of the Federal Reserve leaders over the last 50, 60 years have been Jews. But they also control, if you get a Gentile in, you can be sure he's got a ring through his nose. They can get and hit Goldman Sachs in this Better Markets article. Just look up Better Markets, Goldman Sachs. Look up the last article. And it points out, this is shocking, that over the last 30, 40 years, they have gotten, during direct payments from the Federal Reserve, money into the bank, right, from the Federal Reserve, which is our money, supposedly, right? That's how much they got. Almost $900 billion. That's probably more closer to $1 trillion. $900 billion. They also were found guilty of frauds. They are only fined $8-9 billion. They got $900 billion, but they should. You just the amount of theft. Now that's a parasite on your neck. That's a parasite right on your jugular vein, right? Your economic well-being, sucking out your blood before it goes to the brain. You can look in there. They talk about it.
Is that what you're talking about, this one?
Yeah. Just to go.
Their 20-year rap sheet?
Yeah, go down the page. You can look at it. Look at some of the points. Here you go. Listen. Look. Listen to this. What is that first line? Read that. Read those two lines.
$874 billion. Let me make it bigger. How about that, Dave?
Okay, read it slowly.
$874 billion in bailouts, whatever the fuck that means.
That means money.
Well, I mean bailouts. That, bullshit.
I know, but I'm going to explain it.
Right.
It means money. Give me a chance to finish. Money sent to Goldman Sachs, which they can use, right? And giving someone $1 billion enables them to loan it out for huge amounts of money. And it also enables them to put it in these securities like treasury bonds or whatever.
I've never been bailed out. How about you?
Well, I know. Let me finish.
Yeah.
And it enables them to get just the interest on $1 billion at 5%. Figure it out. What is the interest on $1 billion? 5%.
Well, 10% on $1 billion is $100 million. Yeah. So it's $50 million.
Yeah.
How's that? Free money. Free money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Free money. And that's to these Jewish criminals. Yep. Right? I keep going. I do read the second line too.
Okay. You mean 36 major legal actions?
Yeah. That's $9.8 billion.
In fines and settlements, with billions more coming.
So they were fined $9.8 billion, yep. But they got a pretty good return on the $9.8
billion. It's a cost of doing business.
And read those two paragraphs too. Let's get a little education for
all us. Right. This report details Goldman Sachs' rap sheet of illegal behavior over more than two decades. Okay. It is shocking in its depth and breadth.
Keep going.
It reveals wide-ranging, predatory, recidivist law-breaking from 1998 through 2019. Because it is still pending, this report does not include Goldman's liability for the sprawling global criminal and other illegal activities related to the 1MDB scandal. This report also details how Goldman Sachs was saved from bankruptcy and bailed out by the U.S. government during the 08 financial crash.
I'm glad you gave them a good grammatical correction there.
Thank you. Which Goldman Sachs' own conduct caused or contributed significantly, according to many reports.
Keep going.
The bottom line, Goldman Sachs has committed dozens of illegal acts and preyed upon and ripped off countless mainstream Americans with a frequency and severity that shocks the conscience. And of course, they repeat that, those numbers. Yeah, this report's great.
Keep going. Let's finish that last number again. Just finish.
Okay. In fact, in the last two decades, while receiving more than $874 billion in bailouts,
unbelievable,
Goldman Sachs has been subject to 36 major legal actions that have resulted in over $9.8 billion in fines and settlements. So basically, Dave, they had to give up about 10% of what they were given, which is nothing.
Now, let's translate what this means to the audience for a second.
That means we're getting fucked.
I want you to understand, everybody, the gravity of what they're saying here, right? They're saying that this organization effectively, and what it really means, if they bail you out with how many billion?
Even if
they pay it back.
Dave, almost $1 trillion.
Yeah, even if they pay it back, $1 trillion gets you billions of dollars. Okay, it gets billions and billions of dollars.
This is what our politicians are doing with our money.
Exactly. But this is beyond that, because think about it now. They just got convicted, Goldman Sachs did. None of the Goldman Sachs leaders who have to know this, there's no way they could be running a $4.5 billion bribery scheme, which destroyed an educational system, even a school system. I mean, think of the damages. You think that doesn't hurt America? When American companies, breaking are allowed to destroy a whole educational system and a healthcare system in an entire nation called Malaysia. And yet none of these people went to prison, none of their heads, just some low levels that they could, they made sure that the people who own and made the money. And yet there's no way in the world, no heads of Goldman Sachs could have somebody bribing $4.5 billion in terms of Malaysians to steal their money without them knowing about it. There's no way. Now, when you think about $4.5 billion, when you also think about what they stole and so forth, think about, again, one more time, look what we did to Russia. We stole Russia's. Russia had a number of things. They had certain loans or they had certain payments, and we seized their assets. Now, these are the assets of the Russian people. These aren't even assets of just the government. It's not military. It's of the Russian people, people that work hard. And this is incredible. Now, and they also froze their bank accounts. And the perfect example was they also froze the assets of the Iranians. Listen to this. When all this stuff happened, they started to send the money back. And now they're talking about, and they're still sanctioning the country. That has caused trillions of dollars of damage to Iran and many other countries as well, and Russia. So, I mean, it's insane. This is what you have with a Jewish parasite. And I'm not saying that all Jews are parasites.
Almost all.
Those big Jews at the top, they got their teeth biting into the neck of our people and the neck of the world, including Malaysia, even a foreign country like Malaysia.
Remember this piece of shit, Lloyd Blankfein?
Yes.
Right after they were bailed out in 08, he said that he believes banks serve a social purpose and are, quote, doing God's work.
You remember what I quoted today from the Old Testament and Exodus, where God, Jesus, or let's say Moses says to God, he says, you know, so he's correcting God. In fact, he tells God, he said, the other nations are going to look badly upon you if you act against the Jewish people. They're going to say, these were your people. You act against, like God doesn't know this. Are you going to tell God what's moral? And then they say, and then he finally says, you know, you can remove me from your book. You can, you know, you can blot me out of your book, whatever you want to do. But if you go against my people, then I go against you. Is this the wrathful God that they try to create for us all the time because they want people to say, unless you go with the Jews, the God's going to get you. Is this the wrathful God? No. They're literally saying that they're going to blackmail God. It's not important what God thinks. It's not God's rule. It's not the God of the universe that's important. It's Jews that are important. And they're threatening God. And then God rolls over like a puppy dog and says, okay, whatever.
Well, that's the God they made up.
Well, that's right? The God they made up. Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the shocking thing. And that's why Jesus was railing against the Pharisees.
That's why they hung him.
The whole New Testament.
They hung him on the cross.
There's dozens and dozens of passages where Jesus says to the Jews, he says, and the Jews killed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and killed the prophets and oppose all mankind, right? And drove us out and keep us from teaching to the Gentiles so they might be saved. But God's wrath has come upon them at last. That's what Christianity represents. Christianity represents Jesus Christ going to the Jews. And it says clearly the Jews answered him in those same kinds of words. In fact, by the way, in John, if you read the full Gospel of John, Jesus tells these Jews, you Jews. And he's saying, it's not us. You know, you, your people. He didn't say my people. He said, your people. Have committed terrible sins against us and all humanity. So they also described the Jews as like whited sepulchres, like whited tombs, like in a cemetery. It looks all fancy on the outside, and they're all holy and everything, pretending they're holy. But it says inside they're like dead men.
They're filthy ghetto dwellers. Dave, Henry's got a question.
Sure.
Ends in the word wars.
Sure.
David, are you saying, if Jews never wrote the Talmud, but only the Torah, that we wouldn't have had fiat currency, communism, or world wars?
No. I'm saying the first Torah that really came into existence in a written form, as a complete form, didn't even exist before the second century. Before Christ. Now, I want you to think about that for a second, because it's alleged that Moses lived like 3,800 years ago, and Jacob after that, and then later, you know, then earlier you can say Abraham and so forth, right? So if you think about that aspect, what happened was the Jews wanted, and I'm going to repeat this because I'm doing a whole short book about this, a small book about this. And I'm working with some other people. In fact, I know some Jews that are going to be, you know, actually supporting this because they say that it's going to be very bad for the decent Jewish people, which is some of them, unless this evil stops that the Jews are doing. But anyway, so here's the situation. These Jewish scholars, I can give you some names, Jonathan. And it's not Jonathan Adler. He's one of the members of the Jewish National College, one of the biggest archaeologists in Israel. No, and he, along with all numbers of Jewish scientists and archaeologists, now don't even believe that Moses even existed, that they made it up. And they made up all this stuff because they wanted a vengeful God, right? And they wanted to make up this mythos. And by doing that, they also wanted to make a God that was only concerned about Jews, but not against humanity, and that would support Jewish. That's really what a lot of them saying. Well, here's what they did say. They pointed out that everything they see, the Torah is a set of laws. And Jesus literally counted a lot of those laws, but the Torah is a book that gives these Jews all these ritual prescriptions that they got to follow. The ritual prescriptions keep Jews isolated and separate and not in Congress, not in, being have close relationships. It's just keep them intermarrying Jews. For instance, if a Jew practices Sabbath and you can't work anything, Jews can't hardly, if I'm just, trying to clean off my brush here, that's considered work for a Jew. I could get stoned for that, right? If a Jew can't work on the Sabbath, how does a Jew, if he's a religious Jew, and that's the way they were in Europe and around the Mediterranean, how do they go to work for a Gentile? I mean, the weekend off is not some new philosophy that just came about now. It is a new philosophy. It didn't exist hundreds of years ago. So if Jews can't do any work, they either got to work for another Jew who's going to recognize the Sabbath, or they got to do their own work that they can do, and then they can take off and not do any work on the Sabbath. Secondly, if circumcision is a good example. So what Adler did, and Jonathan Adler, and also other Jews have said the same thing. Another Jew named Jacob, what's his last name? Think of that. Anyway, is another Jewish archaeologist and Jewish historian. He says that what Judaism came from is that Jews kept on being defeated. They got defeated, allegedly in the Torah by the Egyptians. I mean, we're talking about the Philistines. We had the Persians that came into the Persian Empire. We had the Greeks conquered them and the Romans, right? And the last book of the Jewish Old Testament in what's called the Tanakh of the Jewish Old Testament is their defeat, by the by these the last people, the Romans and stuff. So what goes on here is that Jews, radical Jewish racist Jews, said, we don't have a kingdom. How are we going to keep the Jewish people? How is the Jewish people going to survive? How are they going to fulfill all the promises of God to rule the world? And that's exactly what it says in Deuteronomy. It also says that in the Talmud. How are they going to do that? How are we going to do this? The only way we can do this is by having strict non-intermarriage, which they did. If a Jew married out, they were expelled from the Jewish community. Before that time, they actually intermarried some. Circumcision, which is a big barrier to conversion by Gentiles, which is a big barrier in terms of ruining their heritage. Certain dietary habits. So how does a Jew serve in some military? How does a Jew serve in some company? Because those Gentiles are going to be eating pork, which a Jew can't eat. A Jew can be stoned for eating pork. A Jew can be stoned for eating catfish, a fish without scales. A Jew can be stoned for all kinds of things, right?
Can a Gentile stone them?
No, Jews will stone them.
Okay, so we're not allowed to stone
them. And they believed God was constantly, in the Torah, God's always threatening them, not only in terms of punishing them and making them eat, do things like eat their children. Yes, I'm not joking about this. There's some of this stuff in the Torah. But this wasn't really practiced, and this wasn't talked about until the second century. So we know the Jews weren't doing circumcision universally. We know that Jews weren't eating only. In fact, the Jewish things that we've excavated, massive homes, massive pig bones everywhere, right? They're eating pig, which is a Jew can't do. They're eating catfish. That's what the Jew can't do. I mean, they had all these rules which they're violating because it wasn't a hardcore thing. So this is what happened. So these Jews, these radical Jews who hated Gentiles, and by the way, the New Testament says everybody must be treated fairly. Everybody is the chosen of God. A Jew can be saved, but everybody can be saved. And that we have to treat everybody fairly. That's why Jews hated Christ. And by the way, Christ was saying specifically, you got to treat the Samaritans, which Jews considered the people they hate.
Right.
That's their biggest enemy.
And all right, Dave, let's get to the next question.
If you got to treat the Samaritans right, you got to treat the Romans right. You got to treat.
Right.
That's us. We're the Romans. We're the Greeks. So let me just finish.
Right.
So it's a very, very, very vital point. And he basically shows that the only way they were going to do this is by this Jewish supremacist ideology. So they could affect the Torah. So they had 70 supposed scribes, Jewish scribes. And by the way, even in Jeremiah, it says, beware the scribes. Even Christ said, beware the lies of the scribes, right? In other words, the scribes are the people that write down this stuff. And they just got finished adopting this Torah hardcore. So after that was adopted, I always am talking about Hanukkah, right? That's when they slaughtered the Christians. Well, not the Christians at that time, but they slaughtered the Greeks, they slaughtered the Romans, and they slaughtered any Jews that liked them. They specifically say in their stories about it, the reason they did this, it wasn't because the Romans and the Greeks and the Syrians were killing them or repressing them. No, it was because they were allowing their children to marry them and allowing their children to marry them and vice versa, that they were educating them. They were allowing them in the academies. They were treating them good. It was because they weren't trying to kill them and because they didn't want to assimilate. They didn't want to treat everybody equally. They wanted this Jewish supremacy. And it's all there, man.
It's all there. We just got to keep talking about it. All right, Dave, ready? Yeah, next question.
Something
Dave.
You start thinking about and researching. Just read Jonathan Adler, The Creation of Judaism, and you can also read this other scholar as well. I'll get his name for you.
Right. Richard says, and this ends in rabbi.
Yeah.
What's the relationship between Judaism and disgusting, dirty fags? It's explicitly forbidden, yet proselytized everywhere by those calling themselves Jews today. Hell, Pornhub is owned by a rabbi.
Yeah, but The rabbi that Candace Owens has the run-in with, Shmuley, Rabbi Shmuley, he runs a porn and dildo store with his Jewish daughter, who's also a rabbi. I mean, the truth is that even in the Talmud, it makes things such as, it's hard to say this, if you have a servant child, Gentile service child, you're allowed to molest them. And there's other things, including in the Torah, that they added because they also, they really had, as much as they hated Gentiles, they hated their own women and their own little girls as much as they did Gentiles. And then they also hated, of course, they despised people who were lowly slaves.
What about queers?
No, they actually were allowed to participate in those kinds of things, but that's very strict things. They got to do certain things to allow them to do it. That's how they do everything by some sort of they have like a way to get a.
Yeah. You see that headline there, Dave?
There you go. Yeah, I see it. Yeah. Read it. Read a little bit of it.
Homosexuality is part of Jewish tradition. Contrary to the common perception, intimate relationships between people of the same sex did not always have a negative image in Jewish communities.
So, and there's other things in there that are so disturbing. For instance, I'm giving another example. Okay.
We're talking about queers, right?
Yeah. I'm talking about queers, but it goes along with this. They had such double standards about everything. Right. And I think it's important for us to talk about,
Dave, we got to get to the question. So okay. If this isn't about queers, we got to knock these out it's already 6:33.
There's stories in there where not only do they have sex with their servant, young servant boys, right? And that's allowed. They're permitted to do that. And that's because it's not even if these Jews are married, it's not adultery because these people aren't human beings. So you can't commit adultery if it's not with a human being. They always have an excuse, right?
They always have an excuse.
But they also, listen to this. They also clearly, I can show you Maimonides and others writing about how they can betroth a little girl to marriage that is consummated by coition when they're 3 years old. You can't make this stuff up. Now,
these are freaks. These are freaks.
You can't make it up.
Dave, Richard has a question.
And by the way, in the Old Testament, it also says that you can't sell Jews into slavery. You can't buy Jewish slaves, but you can sell your baby girls, baby daughters into slavery. That's fine. Sex slavery. That's perfect. That's perfect. Because not only do they hate, non-Jews, not only do they hate, people who are slave types, not only do they hate Gentiles, they hate women. And that's why so many of the so-called feminists were Jews, because they hated the way they treated them. The Jewish prayer every year, in Orthodox Jews, every day, most healthy, most devout Jewish men make a prayer every morning. God, thank you for not making me a goy and Gentile, not making me a woman. That's the second worst thing than a Gentile.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Are not making me a slave.
Well, that's why they have to cut a hole in the sheet to have sex with them.
Yeah, that's, in fact, there's a whole book by that title. Yeah. I need to get a copy of that. You need to republish that. Shit. It's probably out of print.
I want to read about is these freaks.
But this is a book that
What's the name of it?
They expose it. It's called A Hole in the Sheet.
Oh, shit.
It's by Kay some.
Oh, shit.
You can find, if you find it, there's probably a way to get it.
Oh, shit, man.
I'm sure some libraries.
All right. Richard has a question.
That's a perfect book to reprint. That would be a big seller.
We'll talk about it later.
I'm sure the copyright's expired.
I want to get your books out first.
Okay.
This ends in the word Jews.
Okay.
Does Duke think Trump will annex Canada and Greenland? How does this relate to Jews?
I don't see how he's going to. I mean, and he's bitten off so much more than he can chew. And this is insanity. It looked like he was going to say, we're going to start taking care of America, put America first, and give up this idea of this expensive proposition of having empire all over the world, which we don't need, which is going to make us hated and get us in wars all over the world, and concentrate on our own country. And it looks like they're changing pitch. Now it looks like they're making this last desperate effort, which may lead us to war and destruction of everything that's vital to all of us, our families and our world.
Another question from Richard. This ends in the word now.
Mm-hmm.
In Duke's opinion, is Christian Zionism on the way out? The likes of John Hagee, Billy Graham, Mike Huckabee et al., seem to be suffering steady decline now.
I think it's definitely going down because our message is getting out there. People are circulating my books about Christian Zionism, the insanity of it, the anti-Christian nature of it, which is all undeniable. I think it's going down, but it's not over by any means because they have a lot of power and a lot of money and a lot of influence. They still control the major publishers and so forth. So the people that have money inside the church, there's a lot of people who only care about money. There's a lot of corrupt preachers, unfortunately, as was predicted, by the way, Jesus Christ and the New Testament. This is an issue, but I do think it's going down because people begin to realize it's really insane. The idea that we support the same Jews whose elite crucified Christ and who preach against every principle that Jesus taught, including the idea that everybody is truly equal in the eyes of God, that you all have a chance and you should all have a golden rule.
Thank you, Dave. Next. By the way, Jimmy gave you a $20 donation, Dave.
Thank you, Jimmy. That was nice.
Yes.
We could use it.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, next.
I'm waiting for that heiress or, whoever is going to say, man, I'm getting older now, and I've got a lot of money that I just don't want to give. I'll give a little bit to my cats and my dogs, but I want to support the salvation of our people and the things that I believe in all my life. We need more of that. And
that can happen.
A few people have given me some gifts over the years, which have really helped us. It helped us survive a lot of these economic times. And there's no time when we've needed more of that kind of support. So maybe some of you might entertain the idea. You have insurance policies as well. You could write us into the insurance policy. Just make sure you do it clearly. If you do that, let us know, because sometimes you'll be cheated out of it by those companies, unless, you know, that and make sure your relatives, your other people know, your lawyers know to contact us. But we much appreciate that. And it's something you can do. There's no skin off your nose. It's not going to affect your lifestyle at all. So anyway, that would be nice.
And don't tip off the Jews, because remember what happened to Willis Carto with that big bequeath from Thomas Edison's daughter or granddaughter. Yeah. Okay. Lisa from Germany says, bravo, Dr. Duke, for that clear statement against the U.S. wars for Zionist gain, which need to stop. I wished Americans would protest in the millions against these wars, Palestine and Ukraine.
Here's the deal. And also, Lisa, what I suggest to you, and I appreciated your question earlier, and I understand the question, should we, is that the right name for them, Jews? I say, use it again and again and again. And if you ever notice, every time Israel does horrific cases of genocide, every time they do rotten things, every time they do all sorts of corruption, murder, robbery, like the Sackler families or the Opium Wars, or, you know, all these things going on, whenever they do that, or the Iraq War, they never say Jews. They'll say Zionists, they'll say Israelis, but it's Jewish power. There wouldn't be Zionism except for Jewish ultra-racism, ultra-supremacism. The Jews are the real racial supremacists. And the truth is, in terms of the Hollywood depiction of Nazis, the Jews are the most Nazi of any people in the world. They fulfill perfectly the worst presentation or portrayal that they could possibly make of what Nazis are, to make them evil. That's what Jews are in terms of their organized groups, like what Israel does and their leading organizations. That's the truth. I hope that pleases you. So you should make it a point when you can, not just say Zionist, not just say whatever, leftists or communists, or say it, Jews. And it's not all Jews. You can say that. You can say there are some Jews that certainly act decently and qualify it, but just make it clear. Jewish power is the greatest reason why this world is in the straits that we're in.
Yep. William Jones says, if you want to be a leading politician in the West, you need to have worked in Goldman Sachs. Of course. Court says, Jews are parasites. Pretty obvious and factual statement.
As a group, there's no question.
Yep. Richard.
I don't like Jews, do they believe in a, you know, in what do they call it? The punishment, collective punishment. And they believe in destroying all Gentiles. They believe in destroying all Palestinians. They believe in destroying, you know, all Christians. Even Christian Zionists are going to be destroyed. I mean, they got Christian Zionists working for the Jewish Antichrist to come so they can rape their children. Isn't that nice?
Yep. Dave, you know? we got to move. But
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is from Richard. How often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Well, I'm very interested in, obviously, people all know this, that I consider myself an historian. I am a historian. I have a PhD in history. I've always loved history. And I think that history is a way, by examining the past, to realize the future. That's one reason why I've been doing so much study into early Judaism, because if you don't understand that Judaism is not what's portrayed by these Christian Zionists, but Judaism is an anti-Christian, anti-human, and that, unfortunately, there are parts of that Bible that we all have on our coffee table or by our bedside, which I do, there are parts of that Bible which didn't get in there until the second century before Christ, when they adapted this Hasmonean racist ideology. And they wrote the Bible, they added to the Bible things that they thought would increase their own Jewish racism, and they thought they could use to control us. That's a fact. I hate to say it, but that's why Christ said, you know, the New Testament says, beware of those scribes. That's why Jeremiah says that. It's in Jeremiah, folks. You can look it up. There's a good open Bible website that you can go to, and you can type in there, you know, tell us about, you know, a warning against the lies of the scribes. Again, I gave you the quotation I haven't used yet today, so I could, this is a good way to get close to the end of the show, is using the quotation, one of the most famous and powerful quotations Jesus Christ ever made. And it has the Jews saying, and the Jews answered him, by the way. And this is what Christ said. He said, he's talking to the Pharisees, which are the Jewish elite, just like you have a Jewish elite today, like the Goldman Sachs of the world and the George Soros's of the world. And the Chaim Sabins, they're all Jews, and the Benjamin Netanyahu of the world. He said, quote, here's what he said to the Pharisees, the leading Jews. Ye and ye, Father, are the sons of the devil. And the lusts of ye, Father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his very essence, because that is his nature, and he's the father of lies. And what you've got to understand, that's why you got to be careful with, you know, with what's called the Old Testament today, the Pentateuch, because Jewish scribes have been controlling this book, and they've changed a lot of it. That's just the reality of life. I'm sorry, that's true. And Jesus, in fact, in many ways, tried to correct it. I'll just give you one more example of that to make my point so you have a living example, okay? So Jesus quotes, he says, it's been said, and one of the laws of Judaism was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus Christ said, and I quote exactly, he said, it's said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He says, but I tell you that you turn the other cheek. It's not an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You have a modicum of justice with this. You have a sense of love. And the other thing that's a perfect example of that is something the Jews, Jesus actually illustrated Jewish racial hatred and supremacy against Gentiles, which is us, and in favor of Jews, when he talked about the situation with the Good Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were hated by Jews. I mean, they were like the biggest enemies. When Jesus went to the well of Jacob, there was a Samaritan woman there, and the Samaritan woman said, you want a glass of water? And Jesus said, I want one. Yes, he said, but you better be careful, Jesus. The Jews will stone you if they see you drinking from a Samaritan woman's dishing you out water. And Jesus says, no. He says, I tell you something. I love you as much as I love any Judean. He says, if you give me the water that I need in this hot day, I will give you something even far more valuable, the water of forgiveness, the water of eternal life, the same right that every human being has. It's pretty amazing stuff, right? So anyway, he talks about the Good Samaritan.
Okay, wrap it up because we got to get to the questions.
Well, this is such a powerful story.
Yeah, but you talk about the Good Samaritan every show.
Well, not every show, but I want people to really remember this so they can use it.
All right, 30 seconds.
So, yeah, so a rabbi comes down there, you know, actually a Jewish priest comes down the road. He sees a Jew that's been robbed and stripped and stolen from and beaten up. Naked on the road, he helps him. But the rabbi coming down the road ignores him, doesn't even help a fellow Jew. Another Jew comes down the road, a Levite, which is their elite class, does the same thing. But the Samaritan, which is their hateful person, and Jesus is telling this to a Jewish attorney. Boy, there's a lot of Jewish attorney. Don't forget Trump's Mr. Cohen. But there's a lot of Jewish attorneys. But these attorneys were called that offended the Jewish scripture. And so he's real smart aleck. He says to Jesus, he says, he thinks he's got Jesus trapped now because Jesus talks about this. So Jesus says, okay. He says to Jesus, he says, but Jesus, who indeed is a neighbor. And he was implying the fact that Jewish law is pretty clear that, and the Torah says that, the Talmud says that, your neighbor is your countryman Jew. The Gentiles are not your neighbor. And you know what Jesus said? He says, it's pretty damn clear who's your neighbor. That that Samaritan down the road, he's your real neighbor. Actually, he actually helped the Jews, which persecute him and hurt him. You know, you're the one that doesn't understand. You're the one disobeying the laws of God. No, your neighbor is all people, and be fair to all people. And that's what I believe in. I think all of our people believe that. That doesn't mean you should allow people to hurt you and kill you and abuse you, but you do. We should approach people with the idea of being fair to them, not lying to them, not cheating them, not exploiting them, not enslaving them, and at the same time understanding that we have the right to save ourselves like they do.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Okay, there's the book. William Jones found it. William Jones. Richard found it, you could see. Good.
Get a copy of it, buddy. You can make a copy of that.
The hole in the sheet.
See if you can get a copy of it in PDF. You got it made then.
Hardcover, $13.99.
Buddy, you got to
get. We got to do your books first. Cut it out.
But I'm just saying, it's only $13.90.
I know.
That's a book.
I don't want to read about Jews.
This woman exposes Jewish racism, supremacism. This is a very, very.
Powerful. All right, I'll get it. All right, ready?
Yes.
Another question from Richard. You're not going to get three, Richard. You're going to get one because we're running out of time. If Duke could live 30 years in a certain historical era, where would that be?
Whew. I think I'd want to live where I think I could do the most good. But knowing what I know now, in the 30 years, if you gave me 30 years before the beginning of the Second World War, because I would have done everything in my power to educate the people, and I think I could have. I would have reached in 30 years before that time, by the way. I would have been able to save the life, especially if I knew what's going on when I got transported back. I'd save the life of Huey Long, who was working with Gerald K. Smith, a great anti-Jewish Christian. Father Coughlin, a Catholic person dedicated against the Jewish power structure in Townsend, all three of them. And I do believe that the things I know and the abilities that I have in terms of understanding the Jews could have been used to wake up the world and have we not entered the Second World War. Excellent. And I think if that would have happened, I think that we would live in an incomparably better world. And I think even the National Socialists would have evolved in a more positive and more moderate way as well.
Could have teamed up with Henry Ford.
I would have.
He didn't pass on. I think he was leaving 47.
I could come to him. I could give him a lot of advanced information of what's going to happen.
That'd be awesome. G-Man is in the house. Okay, we've got a couple of links we can't
get. Fantasy, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's a fantasy.
Well, maybe somebody will invent me a time machine. If you invent a time machine, definitely send somebody with the knowledge that I have. Of course, I'll bone up on a few things, too, and go back and knowing what we know now.
Back to the future. All right, Bushmaster.
Change some things.
Bushmaster 6A says, Dukester, he gave you $20.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Okay. And have a question here.
Where's that book advertised that you showed me?
That's on Amazon.
The book on your screen.
Amazon.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Amazon.
Grab it while you can. I used to have a copy of it.
All right. Goy Genius says, how do I donate to Duke right now? I'm going to tell you how to do it. Since you're a registered FTJ user, because you're using the chat, you have a wallet. And if you look above the chat there, it says that green thing says tip using your FTJ wallet. So that's how you do it. And if you don't have any money in your wallet, you just load money on there with a credit or debit card. And then you can tip here and it'll go to Dukester. That's it.
Oh, isn't that nice?
It's so easy. And it's only a 3% fee, which is the lowest anywhere. At any of these platforms, they charge between 20 and 60. Well, they take between 20 and 60%.
And you're not losing the 3%. I'm the only one losing the
3%. Yeah, FTJ takes, not us, but the processor takes 3%.
But that's normal for any credit card processing. So that's
right, but it's the same at the other platforms, but they take above that. They take 20 to 60% on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
FTJ takes zero. Okay, Richard, this ends in thought. Which version of the Bible does Duke endorse? I've heard Americans like the KJV, but maybe the original Greek is truer to the original. Just a thought.
Well, you know, the Jewish Old Testament, as it's all about things going on 3,800 years ago, wasn't even collated. I mean, this is crazy. Till about 8th century to 11th century A.D., you know, so don't believe it's just some old text. And there's not any earlier copies of it than what the Septuagint was and what they call the Masoretic edition or Maressa edition. Excuse me if I didn't pronounce that right. But, yeah, what I suggest you do is you read, if you want to read about the Bible, read the New Testament and just do searches there. Again, you can go to Open Bible and you can search things like what's the position of the New Testament on usury. You can do the same thing with the Old Testament. You can add greatly to our knowledge about Jewish perfidy by doing that. For instance, you can go to the Old Testament and say, what's the Old Testament position on usury? And it condemns it as an evil thing that really hurts people and grabs people. And then what can you do with that? All right. Then you can show what does it say about who we practice usury on Jewish shit. You practice it on Gentiles. And that's you when you read that. So that should be, you can get all the verses that deal with that. And it shows the fact that Judaism, from the very beginning of what they show you as Judaism, is, I'm not saying that was the original views of Judaism, but I can say this is the accepted views of modern Judaism today since the second century, how that they are openly being deceptive. That's why I said earlier the Mossad slogan is by deception or shall wage war. The Old Testament is a method that by which they use deception to wage war against us, because they illustrate in these very testaments when you read them that they want to treat Gentiles better than Jews. And like I said earlier, you're gonna have to look this up tonight. Just go to Exodus and find out where Moses goes to the top of Sinai and God says, I've decided, like this omniscient God that has the same opinion, just knows the future. I've decided I'm going to wipe out all the Jews, you evil sons of guns, you know. You're going to be wiped out. I'm going to start with you, Moses. And Moses says to God, well, God, you go against my people, you can wipe me out of your book because I'm your enemy. So in other words, he put the interests of the Jewish people over God's will.
That's why God chose them, Dave. All right, Dave. That's why next. God
didn't choose
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I know. Goy Genius says, that was the person who was asking.
Isn't that a fascinating story? Isn't that amazing?
That's why, yep. Goy Genius says, David, this is for your medical bills. Dave Gahari, you're a legend too. FTJ is awesome. Watching from Australia. Goy Genius gave you $10, Dave.
Thank you very much. Kind.
Dave, would you ever go on a show where Kanye West would interview you?
I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day about that, and he also works with Jesse Peterson, which I've been on his show before, and he knows them. And I haven't been able to get in touch with him again. Maybe he'll listen to this show sometime. But, yeah, I would love to do that. I think that I could have a great time interviewing him and talking with him and sharing information with him that will help enlighten him.
So you would do it?
Absolutely. It'd be nothing. I tell you something, there'd be nothing better than going on with someone like Candace Owen. I think we'd have one of the best discussions ever. If I ever did a show with Tucker Carlson, I don't think he'd be in trouble. I think the results universally would say, man, that was a great interview. I think he'd probably have as many views as what he got when he interviewed Putin.
Yep.
And the interesting thing is that all the things that he's talking about today, like what's happening with Palestinians, what's happening with immigration, what's happening with LGBTQism, what's happening with, you know, all these things these Jewish wars. It's everything I've been talking about, as we talked about earlier, for the last 60 years. I have a little, there's a little get together for me in one of the cities, and that's going to be next week, next weekend.
Yeah, but they're advertising. It's in Texas. Yeah,
there is. It's in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Saturday. Are you going to be in Texas for the show next week?
I probably will, but I don't know if I can. Well, it's Sunday. Sure, I can do it. I can do it, or I'll be back. I'm coming back again on Sunday. So,
okay, yeah. I'm going to put it in the chat here. We've seen it before.
I should be back in time for the show. So.
Okay, cool. All right, and there it is. It's April 5th, 5 to 10 p.m. in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah.
Do you think that Kanye is a low IQ African?
I don't need to say anything about it. I'll tell you one thing. He's a courageous son of a gun.
He's rich.
Yeah, he's rich and he's courageous.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. I think that I could help him with his outreach kind of programs if he would, if he'd be interested in, learning from somebody studying this question. But I appreciate the fact that he stands up to them, and he's really helped a lot of people start to get it, including Candace Owens.
Yeah. Yep. Any after-show tonight, Dave?
No. I'm sorry. I can't do it right now. And I got to get healthy before my trip.
Right. Okay. Well, if that's it, then I think we're going to close out the show. Dave, let them know where they could see you tomorrow.
And thanks again to my special researcher. I'll see y'all later, guys.
Folks. Dave, you want to tell them where they could see you tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm coming on at 10 a.m. Central Time on the Rinse Radio Network. You can use your phone to call the number. Just go to rinseradio.com or rinse.com. And you can actually call into the show, or you can just connect up over the internet and play it live. Or you can go to my website, or you can go to his website. At HRRADIO, HR, Human Rights, that's what it stands for, HR Radio, RADIO.net. And that's all you guys put into it. You can find it and then go to today's date and you can hear the show just an hour or so after it's finished in terms of live.
And it's up on FTJ too.
And you got a lot of good shows on there too.
I
had a really good show on Thursday and Friday talking about some of these issues in depth where I had time to do that.
Oh, yes, yes. There was a comment here that I think it was Richard. He's enjoying your shows with Nick. A Night Nation Review.
Oh, man, they've been really good shows, too.
Yeah.
Shows with Nick. Flood has really been good.
Yes. And Zach. Yes.
I talked to all three of those last two or three days.
Excellent. And make sure you all stay here, because on FTJ, well, right now there's a movie playing, Kelly's Heroes. So you can watch that after we're done. And then the global premiere of The Digital Battlefront is starting in 58 minutes. That's with Spy Hunter and Huntress. That's going to be interesting.
By the way, I know last week you had on the show Once Arabia. I would have liked to have the time to watch that again. That movie made a big impression on me. Lit up my imagination when I was a kid.
Yes.
But the interesting thing about that, next time you see Lawrence of Arabia, you have a scene in the end where he dies in a motorcycle accident. That's one thing they didn't write about.
Thanks for ruining the end.
Because the evidence is
never saw it.
That he was murdered by the Jews. Because
really?
He was working on joining with Oswald Mosley.
Ah.
And
I see.
So he was pretty great.
All right, Dave. So you will be next week at that birthday celebration. And then we will see. If something comes up on Sunday, just let me know. You know, if you can't do it, just let me know. If you can, great.
We'll do what we can. I can be a little late. You can start without me and end with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it, right? We did everything. Yes. No, I'm not going to Texas, Jimmy. I can't, because the first week of April, there's like, my wife's birthday, my son's birthday. So I would not be able to make it there for the 5th.
Well, we'll miss you.
Yeah, I wish I could. Otherwise, I would be there. All right, Dave. Have a good night, buddy. And enjoy the birthday party.
Because that's an early celebration. So that's all right. That's
yeah, I know. You're July 1.
People in Texas as well.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Have fun, Dave. And we'll see you next Sunday. And thank you all for coming to the show. And thank you all, especially for the folks who donated to Dave. He, as he said, he greatly appreciates it.
You got it. You take care.
All right, Dave. You too.